bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the call to Ian, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Alright guys, welcome to the Ian Ellis podcast, the only podcast that comes with instructions. You gotta smoke something, drink something, go to a quiet place, zone out. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a mixtape, audio acid trip. Have some fun. Tonight, we got a mixtape mashup of just shop talk of comedy. Hopefully you're a comedy nerd if you listen to this. Then we got my set. I talk about Louis. And then me and Marcus Gailey sit down and we talk about conspiracies. I love conspiracies. He knows them a lot better than me. joke I meant to get off. There's two people in this world that I salute. Soldiers and porn stars. There's two jobs where I look at them like, I ain't doing that. But God bless you, because the work you do saves lives. God bless you. Shout out to all the vets. Happy Veterans Day, or whatever this holiday that just went by. It's appreciated. So zone out, guys. Enjoy the podcast. And thank you for listening. All right. Deuces.
This war is getting dirtier by the day. People are being executed for just having an opinion.
Melinda seems to have more enemies by the day.
Perhaps you would know. Rumor has it you've been making all kinds of new friends.
I don't pay much attention to
rumors. Just be careful, John. Keep jumping from one side of the fence to the other. You might just get impaled on it.
Stop running around with a folding chair that looks identical to everyone else's and, like, just being part of the general melee, because part of what the enemy wants you to think is that life sucks and that it's chaotic and stupid.
And I tried to stop. I mean, I don't know. I tried to go straight. I did. I left the gang after the gang left me. Left me to die after I'd been shot. They'd all gone crazy anyhow.
When I first started going to the Comedy Cellar, there wasn't a table.
But you know, with comedy, man, the thing I always love about it is not so much it's like ethical compass or moral compass. What I love about it is the way it warps reality.
Comics just went upstairs and they sat all over the place. And I am convinced that the reason why the table was started was because of Patrice.
Now, this is not to say this is how we should act. Comedians should only be funny, or comedians should not be funny now, or whatever. I'm just saying, the moment you encounter great art, whether it's comedy or a painting or a movie, you feel hope. Because you're like, humans are fucking cool. That's amazing. And when you start watching comedians warp what's happening right now in any kind of way at all that's successful, no matter how lofty or how mundane, I think it adds to the sum total of joy in the world. And the more joy there is in the world, the more chance we have to make sure that we don't do this again. And that's why it's important to fucking fight.
Thank you. Because Patrice was so loud and so funny, and he was just all over the upstairs. They were trying to somehow contain him. He was like, Jordan, you know, you're not going to stop him. Let's just see if we can contain him. So I think they just tried to get us all in, seated in one area so they could at least be like, okay, sit down and fold your fucking hands and listen to the teacher, right?
What I always loved about comedians is that comedians get to do whatever they want. That means that if you want to be completely shallow, have nothing to do with politics and just blurt out some ridiculous thing, you can do that. It's okay. Also, if you feel like you have some heady thing to say that has no punchline, you can say that too. You're a fucking comedian. You represent the part of the human spirit that is unconquerable by the gods, which means that you are ultimately free. You can do whatever you want.
Considering this guy's also a fellow comedian, I feel bad that that was his perception. I feel bad that that was his perception of what the table was, because, you know, the table was like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, that was something like the level of pounding that you had to take. You had to go there and just basically get ripped to shreds. And then what everybody at the table wanted to do, and it wasn't doing it to just be mean.
No comedian has a moral obligation. No comedian doesn't have a moral obligation. But anytime a comedian successfully pulls off real comedy, they're bending space, if you ask me. And that bending of space and time and the paradigm and the gestalt and the archetypes is a fucking miracle. And whenever it happens, people are like, holy shit, this is a pretty good universe. Hurricanes, earthquakes, and all. And that makes people feel a little more excited about being alive. And that means that my friend's couch won't end up with a fucking rotting corpse on it. Somebody sucking back nitrous oxide.
It was just, it was just this comedian thing. So you'd sit down and like, you'd sit down with like whatever you were hung up about with yourself, and they would give another 40 things about you physically that you didn't even notice that you should also be self-conscious about. However, in the end, all they wanted you to do was come back at them and trash them back. And if you did, you were in, regardless. All right? And there was some epic fucking back and forths at that table. You know, people definitely got mad sometimes, but the table wasn't like what a lot of people who didn't go to it think it was, like this big bullying thing. It was also this amazing thing where, like, I listened to Jewish people and Arab comics going at it, talking about the Middle East. I listened to Patrice and, you know, Manny Dwarman, their debates. Colin Quinn was there, and if I remember correctly, Tough Crowd came out of those conversations at the table. And if you watched Tough Crowd, it'd be these comedians talking about these deep issues while trashing each other. And I always felt the table was inclusive as long as you were willing. You had to fucking walk the gauntlet. You just had to fucking do it. You had to survive it. And then if you did, you actually became a better comedian, because once you got in at the table, then there was this thing you couldn't not sit at the table. You'd come in and be, hey, Bill, come on. They wanted you to sit at the table because they wanted you to trash you. And then they also wanted you to trash them back. But, you know, I wasn't even part of the elite crew. I wasn't funny enough. I just wasn't. Like the as far as this is just my perception of it was, the table was Patrice, Norton, Voss, Keith Robinson, Colin Quinn, and later on Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, right? And even he was sort of like just like a rookie. But he also made it so fast that he didn't have time to fucking stay there. So that was like the Mount Rushmore of the table. And when you showed up and they were all there, and somebody had something on you, like that time, you know, I for 24 hours said I would do stand up on a bus on the way to a World Series game to get a World Series ticket, and I never even ended up doing the gig. I took a headlining set pounding that is still legendary. They told the fucking story on Opie and Anthony. I believe Kevin Hart and them all told the story, man. I got fucking destroyed. Destroyed. So this guy, like, suggesting that it was all, like, everybody was, like, there was this team of people. It wasn't. It was fucking cannibalistic. All right? Everything that they said in Open Anthony was 100% true, except for the fact that I did the gig, because I didn't do the gig. I actually gave the gig to somebody else, and I, with the vow of silence, I said, I will never tell anybody that you did this gig, because I don't want you to go through what I just went through. I think the guy who did the gig actually might have said that he was the one who did the gig all these years later, but I'm not saying shit who it was. So anyways, once you got in at the table, then you would go downstairs to go do your set, and one night everybody at the table would be like, you know what, we're watching your set tonight. And you'd be like, ah, fuck. And you would go downstairs, you'd go on stage, and the crowd couldn't see all these fucking asshole comics. I remember they'd all be backlit, standing in the hallway, Patrice's big, dumb, stupid head. And you'd have to go up there and, like, just commit to your jokes as they were all standing there making faces of disgust, heckling, making noises. And one time I told a joke and it went good. And as I was telling the joke, I had the nerve to actually try to say something in the joke. And Patrice would just go, just do that fucking noise, and then they would all crack up laughing. Then the crowd would laugh like, what the fuck, and get a sense of like, other comics are laughing at this guy. Should we be laughing at him and not respect him as a human being? And then you would just start bombing. And I'll never forget, I remember Kevin Hart went downstairs and he went up as a 20-year-old comic and survived it and was barely affected. I mean, I know. And then looking at all the stuff that he's doing now, like, you really saw what he was made of. It was a great thing. The Cellar Table is not what this person perceived it to be.
We're great. People are great. We don't need them. That's the main thing. We don't need them. We're fine. We're going to be fine no matter what. This is fucking Harmontown. We're fine. This was supposed to be a cult. What happened? We're going to be fucking fine.
June Sung, everyone. June makes me proud to be an Asian comedian, so. Guys, come on stage now. Very cool dude, Ian Ellis, everyone.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but Tyler is fucking amazing. Like, on a technical level, if you can understand his kung fu moves, like, Jesus Christ, this kid is great! Enough dick sucking. The fuck is he gonna book me for? Ain't running shit. Heard he had a micro penis. Being nice to this kid. Tonight's set is gonna be sexually explicit. NC-17 pornographic. Talking about jerking off on these hoes. That offends your sensibility, your family values. Now's a good time to go to the bathroom. Refresh your drink with Bill at the bar. Big round of applause. And maybe just text your mom and tell her you love her. Moms are great. I fucking love my mom. They appreciate it. Just tell them you love them. The rest of you kind of just want to see where this is going. Talking about jogging off on these hoes in the age of Louis C.K.? What kind of confession are we getting? Here's the thing about Louis. Five people? I can understand maybe one time. You were drunk, you had some cocaine. Seemed like a good idea at the time. The next day you felt terrible. Immediately went to rehab. It's kind of the thing where you wake up and you're scared to apologize. Oh, I crossed the line last night. I think I should get my life together. That's a life-changing moment. Glenn Beck had one. Not Louis C.K. Five. There's only four books in the Bible. Who wants to read four books of anything? I was like, Harry Potter, give it to me in one. I don't have time for this shit. Lord of the Rings! One book! Five. There was only four Beatles. Five people. Semen is disgusting. You can't wash it off. It smells terrible. You taste it all day. And some rando comes up to you and just spooches all over your life? The rest of their life, as talented as they are, they're very artsy, and you're looking at them going, I can picture him jacking off on her right now. It's so degrading. I have jacked off on a young lady. Young lady feels more degrading to me than a bitch. Like, the feminist in me is like, she's a bitch. Power that bitch. Jacking off on these bitches. Kick your ass. I belong in a different time. I'm very bad at this. So, a young lady came to me and she was like, hey, I've been watching this porn. I think you should come on my face. And I was like, okay. She's not like a whore, though. So instead of just like, we're fucking, and it's like, quick, just finish on my face. We had to go to the shower. A hairnet was involved. The girls in the videos look like they enjoy it. They're like, ah, 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 give it to me. No woman enjoys it. She's like, quick, beat off on my face. She looked like she was shitting and eating a lemon at the same time. It was terrible. Who wants to stand up when they jerk off? You have to be a monster. Real monster of a human being. By the way, if Meryl Streep really wants to win an Oscar, she just has to do a pornography. If she can convincingly take a load to the face, that bitch is the greatest actress on the planet. I don't think it's possible. All right, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Ian Ellis, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Ian Ellis makes me proud to not be Ian Ellis.
Preach!
Grab a seat.
Thanks, I'm Dave. Very nice to meet.
Dave, what it do? You can call me dog. Let me just check your sheet.
No problem, sir. Let me just say, I'm a big fan of the shit that y'all made. I can't lie, I've been thinking about this all day.
All good, there's a reason that we call Dave. Let me start with your background, where you come from.
Sure, I was undergrad down there in Richmond.
Before that.
Are you talking about my hometown?
Yeah.
I was born out of Philly, grew up in a little silly old town called Cheltenham. That's in the suburbs, upper middle wealth around.
So real shit, you ain't never had to struggle for much?
I wouldn't say it like that. We just had a different kind of trap.
Elaborate.
Well, I ain't never had a tool, but I had to be the man of school, like I was doing shit I had to do. So when I finished undergrad, I'm cool and I could get whatever job I wanted.
But the job you wanted wasn't all that bumping.
Yeah, and I saw quick all the flaws that be coming when you grow up like that. When you've been racing them rats, you ain't been making them raps.
Boo hoo, what a hardship. How you pay to get the rap shit started?
Man, my bar mitzvah for money, but don't diss me, buddy. I wasn't one of them youngins up on the block who had nothing to lose. I must have wanted this a lot, I had something to choose.
Look at that, I can see there's something to prove up in your ass.
Yeah, I guess.
That's enough of the past. What makes you wanna do rap?
Oh my god, it's the best. Bitches let me drop on their breasts. Literally, I can reinvent myself. I get a form to project myself. It's never boring. Every morning I wake up and try to best myself. I never gotta be suppressed or stealthy to express myself. It's kinda healthy.
Cool, and let me put you through a couple hypotheticals.
Sure.
In a club and a couple niggas threaten you.
I wouldn't do shit, and I don't even get what they gotta do with this.
Shut the fuck up, rap's like life. If you wanna do this, then you won't get far acting like a little bitch.
Nah, that's my niche. Don't get offended by this, but that's the market you'll miss. That's the target I'll hit, and that's the heart of my pitch. I wanna do this whole thing different.
The fuck you mean you wanna do the whole thing different?
You know, I think, like, you know, traditionally people have been doing the job, you know, the same kind of way for a long time.
But traditionally speaking, this shit works, right?
No, I get that, but I just think, like, you know, you don't know if it could be working even better. And I think you should look at me as an opportunity to find that out.
So what are your biggest strengths?
My flow is crazy, I can switch that amazing. For example, I could be like, ain't nobody fucking with a diggy when he get up on the shit and spit his nigga ridiculous. Ribbing the shit like it's never been did, and the rhythm is never predictable, cause I can switch it, deliver the shit in whatever cadence you bitches prefer.
Alright, I get it.
Top of that, lyrically, I'm pretty damn clever.
Go.
Got a long bottom bitch called a hoe Neville.
Bro.
And I blow from the junk, Derrick Rose knee.
Oh.
You can say I'm pretty smart, how I know better. And y'all been winning like Vistorius, it's no feat. Bro, I could go on and on, I'm taking over and they mad like father-in-laws.
Okay, enough of the punchline. That ain't showing me you different than the other guys.
Well, I don't know if they can run it like that, but ain't nobody else doing funny tight rap.
What's that?
Well, I could tell a story about my morning watching Boy Meets World and jerking off to the Pangalorm. It's like the 14-year-old of Panga.
Oh, this shit like a joke to you? I don't get it.
Nah, it ain't like that. I just happen to be a nutty, abundantly funny type of individual, like as a guy. So when I get up on the mic, I ain't finna just lie. Real recognize real, right?
Yeah, I guess. So what you trying to do 5 years from now? Tell me about the dude.
Well, I don't care about the money, like it's the respect that I'm wanting. Honestly, I just wanna be one of the greats, where they gotta bring your poya up every debate. I don't wanna lead a game the same.
In a nutshell, what's your legacy?
Well, I wanna be the dude that came in and made a stand-up rap with the random rap and a man like that. For the people that was anti-rap, yeah, the fans of rap started to recognize the anti-rap is ironically one of the real brands of rap left.
That shit sound pretty damn complex.
I guess I wanna be the best, I just wanna do it my way and turn a whole game sideways to show people you ain't gotta be resigned to the highway. You can make a path while these motherfuckers drive straight.
I ain't mad at that.
Well, thanks, man, that's my plan of attack. Just let me in and I'ma rap the plaques, and I ain't about to win them back to back. I'm about to win them like it's back to back to back to back to back till I stop rapping.
You ain't even sold a damn album yet.
True.
room. That's a lot of talk from a wily vet, let alone a young rook, nigga.
You misread me.
Nah, this ain't a book, nigga.
Well, that's one of my flaws. I'm too competitive, dog.
Nah, you just fucking repetitive, dog. I get it, you trying to be better than all, but you want shit into Jetta's involved.
I get that, I gotta prove myself.
No shit, you ain't done shit.
But think about that, dog. Only doing this a couple of years. One tape and I'm like this.
This shit is alright for your first shit, but you don't know if it's your worst shit.
But you don't think finding out would be worth it?
It might be, it might not. But I'ma put your ass to work, kid.
Wait, like I have the job? Like, really?
Well, one more thing. Let me see if you can put a hook together. What would you do for the hook for this song?
You want me to make a hook up right now?
Do I look like the type of nigga that like repeating himself?
Okay.
Man, do the hook.
I'm about to be professional. Homie, I'm professional. Maybe like a low voice type thing?
Nigga, that shit is garbage, man.
Well, you know, I feel like there might have been some upside to it, but I'm not good at thinking of things on the spot like that. Don't y'all normally, like, outsource for that kind of thing sometimes?
Whatever, man. You trying to smoke a blunt?
Right now?
Yeah.
Sure.
Alright, welcome to the Ian Ellis Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Ellis. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, Mr.
Marcus Galley. What it's do?
Marcus, I'm a very gullible person. I want to believe everything. I used to listen to Coast, and I wanted to believe every caller. And then they started contradicting. And I love conspiracy theories, but I have such a hard time telling people apart. And you are a conspiracy theory connoisseur.
I wouldn't call myself a connoisseur. But I would say that I at least try to keep myself awake to things that are not right. I think a lot of people these days do.
You know your way around a false flag operation or two.
Yeah, I was in Vegas, so totally set one up for you. No, I mean...
So many conflicting videos of Vegas. I saw a helicopter. I saw a second shooter. You say people on the roof?
There's a lot of different videos, and... Basically, there is more than one shooter. You can't let that down. I mean, there's people that were actually there, and the first thing that the media does is when those people say those kind of things, they completely shut them down and let them go with the lone wolf. This is the only person that did this theory, and it just, like, you change a timeline three times, People are like, this is weird. I mean, how do you change a timeline three times and you're in a city that has more cameras than most military bases?
We saw Tupac stomp a guy. That was 1992.
Who was supposedly flown off in a helicopter and seen walking out of the morgue van in the back of the L.A.
He's in Cuba.
Crematorium or whatever.
He looks great.
Yeah, there's a lot of sightings. I found one that was really interesting of Michael Jackson, and he was in... there was a group of people walking around for, like, 14 minutes, and towards the very end of the video, they run into a guy that looks oddly familiar, like Michael Jackson, surrounded by two guards, and they see these people, like, just randomly videotaping and caught him on video and start chasing them through the streets, and luckily they get away with the footage and uploaded it, and it's scary. I mean, there's a lot of different other videos, but that one in general was kind of funny.
Why would anybody kill Michael Jackson? Did he fake the moonwalk?
Well, at the about a couple months before Michael Jackson died, he became his own person. He owned Sony basically and wanted to leave Sony and sell off his stock. He was basically going to own Sony. He was going to buy the rest of the stock.
That is not unbelievable. On Netflix, they have a movie called I Am Thor about Canada's big rock star of the 80s, who, because record labels were in a dispute, he was kidnapped at gunpoint by record labels. It was the mob.
Unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to look into that one. No, I didn't get to see that. But yeah, man, there's just a lot of different interesting things when it comes down to different stars.
If we were going to do the ABCs of conspiracy, what are the ones that go in a row that you're like, you got to know this, this, and this, otherwise you're missing points?
I think, where do you want to start, the bottom or the top?
How long has this been going on? Where was the beginning?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the Middle East. I think a lot of the findings and stuff that was actually maybe the more older culture than I guess what China or whatever is considered the oldest.
There was this weird racial superiority thing where people want all the ancestors to come from them, and British people faked fossils because they wanted to keep white superiority. That's how ridiculous.
Well, it's funny you say fossils. Did you know that there's like fossils of bones of giant people, and they're hiding it from the public?
The Anunnaki.
Well, I don't know. It's very possible that aliens are real, and then that you could make a superhuman, someone that's larger than a normal human, and it's a cover-up to not know that things are like that. Whether they're scary or they just don't, you know, this is a technology that was forgotten, now it's found again because they're finding these bones.
Let's start with the pyramids. Should we believe the official report? Rolling bricks on logs. That's as advanced as their civilization was, but they built these technically advanced rocks. They're so advanced, but it's just a fucking monument.
That's what I'm saying. These superhumans are supposedly the ones that helped build these things. Somebody could easily lift tons by their own hands. So
that's in all the mythologies that one race came and gave everybody culture and farming and agriculture. Fingerprint of the gods.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to piss anybody off who's in religion, but yeah, it's kind of odd that, you know, something that happened 300 years before, and then the whole Bible thing. And, you know, it's funny how that happened. And it's kind of like telephone, like, you know, with the Bible in it. How is something like that going to be written down 300 years after the fact?
9/11. Did it happen?
Yeah, it happened. Whether planes actually hit the building or there was... You know, there's... I think, you know, honestly, 9/11 is a huge subject, and I don't want to get too far into it because a lot of people feel, you know, sad about this, but... there's a lot of people that put their credibility on the line to say that there's thermite in the dust, thermite that's weaponized, military-grade thermite, liquid pools of molten lava from steel at the bottom of the towers, other buildings that have had strong structural fires that lasted longer than the Twin Towers, still stood in one place, all the steel columns. So to tell me that a plane that
they were made to take planes.
Yeah.
They were built to take loads.
You're telling me, and people in that fly planes will say, how can you take a plane that's something that weighs extremely light and you have to be at a certain weight to fly to keep up with the engines and stuff? Something that's made with really light material. So it's like throwing a toothpick at the side of a wall. You know, nobody was fooled. There's a lot of weird things going on, and if that didn't wake up people, I think that this Vegas thing being like the new 9/11 to people.
Here's why I go, it's not an inside job. Because they blamed it on Bin Laden and then went to war with somebody else. They would have just blamed it on the somebody else, on fucking... I can't even remember his name.
But I believe this
Satan's boyfriend.
Yeah, Satan's boyfriend. It could be a lot of people, man.
Most of them are in comedy.
You know, be nice now.
Illuminati? All through your body?
Very true. I mean, I think there's a lot of different secret societies, and Illuminati is...
I mean, one, no one black people, many. Handshakes go around. A lot of people have secret handshakes.
Yeah. That's probably more of like a gang thing.
No, man. Jay-Z is part of the Illuminati.
Okay, yeah. We're talking about stars. I think they have more of a... They have a cult-elliptic hand signals and stuff. So, I mean...
Hollywood sex groups.
I knew all. I mean, that stuff was on the internet way before all of this blew up. Like, there's been so many suspicions. I feel like they knew what was going on in Hollywood, and if you weren't going to play the game that they wanted you to play, that they would pin you with this. They blackmail you, basically. And
they make you pay. Give us what you owe.
Exactly.
I can think of a few more people that might come out later this year.
You got a list set up already?
I don't want to out anybody. But, like, I heard these rumors 5 years ago. And actually, I messaged one of the girls that it was about. And I was like, hey, is this real? You know, if it is, we got to tell everybody. And they didn't. They never wrote me back. So brave. No, that was a terrible joke. But I did. And if I've heard about it this long, then definitely Jon Stewart, Jim Norton, and Bill Burley, or Ricky Gervais had to have fucking had a conversation about it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty more, because a lot of people don't know about it. Like, there is a gay mafia, and they run LA.
Shout out to Cameron Esposito.
That's one conspiracy that's out there, is that the gay mafia runs LA. And
there was just an attack by their camp on the Comedy Cellar. A guy named Guy, he's a gay comedian, wrote an article about how the Comedy Cellar table has to go away. The table was like the birth of Tough Crowd and Opie and Anthony's, like, best rotation. It's this monumental thing in comedy, and he's like, well, they excluded, you know, gays and women and transgender people. And Bill Burr came out, and he was like, it wasn't like that. It was just, we tried to murder anyone that came in, and if you could take it, you were in. And I'm not saying it was a good thing. It was just, that's the great thing about comedy, is it doesn't give a fuck about you. Yeah. Comedy doesn't care about your age, race, sex, gender.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of George Carlin's set had a lot of, like, deep meaning to it. Just kind of like the whole Louis C.K. thing, that had a lot of deep meaning. There's some shit that he has done, and it was kind of like a half-hearted way to let it go in his own mind and find
the
funny.
He had on his show, Louis, a segment where he's interviewed in the news about masturbating, and he says to this young lady, like, I know you don't get it, but I'm going to masturbate to you later, and there's nothing you can do about it. I wonder if that wasn't, like, throwing shade, like, bitch, you better not say anything. I'm Louis. King Louis, straight out the Jungle Boy.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's truth in comedy. A lot of things have happened to you, so you find the funny in it, or, you know... In Louis' way, I mean, now that a lot of people look up to Louis and how he could turn his own life into a comedy bit, and like most comedians, but
he always
just
makes himself the heel. He's always like, "I'm such an asshole. I'm such a piece of shit."
If you think about it, a lot of it is masturbation jokes, and I guess he just had an issue with masturbation. Maybe it was
on that pee-pee.
It might be a lot deeper than it is, and it's not unheard for people in the entertainment industry that have been had sexual.
Can you imagine doing something like
problems?
That 5 times to a stranger? Yeah. Just like. I gotta do this. If I don't do this, then...
I remember hearing this, that, like, a lot of famous people in life had been known to have accidents all the way up until they were, like, 6, 7, 10 years old. And they were, like, real strong figures in life. I can't quote anybody that I know off the top of my head. I just thought that was funny, if that's actually true. It's just, yeah, it's interesting how money and power is everything. That's where it starts. Having control. It started from Egypt, and then it, you know,
it starts in Egypt and it goes to Louis.
And that's where we are now, basically.
Guys, it's in the money.
Yeah.
Fold up a $30 bill. It looks just like Louis. He was the sacrifice.
Here's a conspiracy theory that I'm putting together right now. The whole shit, and this is, I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't really followed it. I'm more interested in Vegas right now because there's just too many things that don't add up. But the whole shooting in Texas, like, I find it funny that what happened, like a week ago? And they tore down the church Saturday.
Jesus.
Like, it's gone now. So, like, any evidence that was there is gone. I just found that interesting that the FBI and then would let it just go with just this one person deal and whatever. I'm not saying that there was more shooters at that one. It's just, like, how could you just let evidence go so fast?
Do you believe there
are
crisis actors and fake events?
Oh, there totally is. They've caught people doing that, man. And it's just... It's,
give us an example. Like, where can people go? What's a hot one to Google? Or YouTube?
Just YouTube. And then you can just YouTube crisis actors. Just the news... The news alone is propaganda bullshit all day long.
It's Chapter 5
and
of
Mein Kampf. Do you know what? To stay current and to stay with on other people's levels, if they're not woke, you need to stick with the news that's going on, even if you know it's bullshit. It's just what it's created for. It's something interesting.
It's a pervasive narrative.
It causes controversy.
That you have to reckon with.
Causes controversy, conquer and divide, and what's the next thing that the person should, like, let's say Taylor Swift right now. She's the newest, hottest thing right now. And the only people that are pushing that are the people that put the money behind her to push what they want.
Their agenda.
That's what people do, right? If they want in the entertainment industry.
And they're putting out the images they're comfortable with. I think it's a crazy thing that a lot of things you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Like, once you could swear on TV... Now you can say anything. There's no going back. You can say anything. And as the nudity slips, you can do anything. And there's no going back. And things are getting weirder and weirder. Like, I remember looking at my parents and being like, what do you mean you don't understand gay or like black or Mexican? Like, it was so common sense to me. And now it's like the transgender thing. I look at it and I'm like, it seems wrong to me that a man would become a woman and get like Woman of the Year or the most tech millionaire woman. But it used to be a man, like, it should be its own third category.
Well, I mean...
That rant just went way off the rails,
I don't know, but that, yeah, that's a tough subject to hit on. I feel like you...
Well, things were welcoming into the culture, into the vocabulary.
I think, I guess, regardless of your religious belief or who you are as a person, you should just, you know, agree to disagree and be respectful to that person if that's something you don't believe in.
Here's a bit I was going to do tonight. With like terms like Zim and Zer and toxic masculinity, these are
we just gotta put this stuff to bed.
These are type 1 civilization problems. Type 1 civilization, no more governments, no more war, everybody's taken care of. We can worry about all these labels. We are not that. We're a type 0 civilization. We have Trump and Kim Jong Un and boom boom sticks make the world go by and global warming, and we gotta focus for a little bit and handle the big shit.
Well, I don't know. I think people are more into this kind of stuff because it's everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got a camera, and they're always capturing something that's not right. So, you know, it especially the Vegas thing, how many videos were taken down because it wasn't good for their sponsors. It had content that wasn't, you know,
well, YouTube
correct
has totally
or
been
right.
Infiltrated by the ads.
Yeah,
and,
well, no,
and that's
the
how
Russians.
You control people.
It's the Russians, I'm telling you.
My buddy, I've been arguing with him about God for 15 years, and I can't get an inch. And then he saw one video about flat Earth, and he changed everything he believed. He's like, that's
oh,
it,
good.
we're on flat Earth. We're
in this subject. Yes.
So that was really frustrating to me. It was like, why does this affect you but not this? And then I found out, like, oh, most of that flat Earth might kind of tie back to Russia. Like, uh-huh. Facebook makes it so easy. Like, you can get 300 views for $3. Like... Put the Russian bank behind that. We're getting some views. We're confusing them. And as soon as he heard that, he's like, oh, well, then I'm off that. I was like, why are some things so flimsy? And others, like, can't get an inch.
Best thing I heard about Flat Earth is there's a declassified document from the Air Force saying that a man flew a plane in the North Pole into a hole.
Yeah.
It flew this plane. It was, I guess, large enough to fly through. And apparently, when it flew through and got farther into this cave, that there's a whole other civilization inside of the Earth. And
can
that they're more technologically advanced than us. And it basically, he described spaceships. And
let me give some logic to this. You're a pilot. You're in Antarctica, the most miserable, unreachable place on the planet. You crash, you're fucked. you're flying, you see a hole. You're like, you know what's a good idea? I'm going to recklessly fly into this hole and hope that there's a way to turn a plane around in the span of a hole.
The other thing that's interesting about Antarctica, the other thing that's really interesting is it's off limits to...
That is crazy.
Anybody like
and
us.
And all the presidents have been visiting.
You have to have a permit to go there. And like something like 13 different countries have military bases there.
Russia said that they've been dealing with this for 3 presidents. They want to get down there. You know, word on the street, conspiracy, there might be a flash frozen alien civilization.
Well, there might be like minerals and things down there that are... I mean, that's a totally different climate to what we're used to. We're talking about like a couple, you know, 100 degrees lower than what we're used to in temperature.
I thought we had this mapped out when I found out polar bears aren't from the North Pole. And I was like, oh, obviously they've been all over the South Pole. They've got this. It's snow.
Yeah, a little warmer up
no
there.
No questions to ask here.
So, I mean, I look at it like this. Yeah, maybe the Earth might be flat because, you know, there might be some logic behind it. I don't know, maybe it freaks people out. But it would freak people out to find out that the Earth is flat and we don't live in a circle. It might contradict the things that are in the Bible. That's why it's
I think it helps to have this thought that there's something you can fight. That it's not just random chaotic stupidity. That there is like a bad guy that can be taken down. I think that's almost more comforting than like, oh, we're just terrible at, as a species. There's just so many weak people that were fucking up.
Yeah.
I want to say one last thing about my saga from last week, my controversy.
Here we go again.
A lesson I learned was that I'm a selfish comic because I just do whatever the fuck I want. But I don't think about the audience. And they came to have a good time. If I'm going to involve them in my shtick, in my wheelhouse, I should do it in a pleasant way. I should make roasting pleasant. I should bring them in pleasant, take them out pleasant. Because what good do I do to fuck their night up? No. So I need to be more considerate of the audience. Just as a side note. Until it's my place. Until my name's on the ticket and people know what they're coming for. Be a little bit nicer to people. Because who knows who tried to jack off on him this week.
I agree with that too. I think that sometimes you take things out of context. And you just gotta... relax, and we're all a community, and we have to be friendly to each other. We may not see eye to eye on what kind of opinions or views we have on how we do comedy or how, you know, things are done for.
Who the fuck is the one to be like, I know what funny is?
Yeah.
It meets these standards.
You don't know. I mean, everybody has their unique personality. Everybody's an oddball or, you know. In their own way, man. There's a lot of weird people in comedy, and that's just the way it is.
All right, man. We might start a new podcast about conspiracies. I hope you've enjoyed Marcus Gailey. Can they find you anywhere?
You can find me on Facebook. I will get to you as soon as possible. You can always hit me in the messenger on Facebook.
I bet after that last podcast got crazy, I bet you $50 you still hadn't listened to it.
No, I've listened to it. I listened to both of them. Honestly, a lot of people don't know like my backstory on the whole like weight thing. You know, my mom died from obesity. I've gone through my own. Yeah, I found my mom dead, dude. It's
horrifying.
It's a fucked up thing, man. A lot of
people. No matter how any parent dies, but like to find a parent dead, it's just like Jesus Christ. That's a lot to take.
And, you know, everybody fights with their own issues with weight. You know, some people are just gifted to have that fucking metabolism. You know,
I used to be close to 300 pounds, and now I'm down to like 240, 230. Yeah. And I still should like lose another 50 pounds.
Yeah, I need to lose another 50 pounds. But I'm pretty comfortable at this weight. I felt great, man, when I lost all that. Because I've always been a big guy. I've never had been, you know, slim or anything. That's because...
raised on Twinkies and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, exactly.
Pringles and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oreos, America's Cookie. brought to you here by McDonald's, where I just had for the first time their butter... their
Butterball Turkey Sandwich.
Yeah, special. No, they don't have that shit.
All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll be back. The economy episode will be coming up. Later. Yeah.